Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, around this time yesterday, I admitted something a little bit embarrassing. And I don't get embarrassed very easily.
I think you were embarrassed because of where it happened.
Yes.
I think anywhere else you'd be fine. Like, not my problem. I'm the king. I've never done anything wrong in my life. Flawless Jess impression just then.
Over the weekend, I was at my in-laws' house and I went to the bathroom, spare bathroom upstairs. And I'm the only person who usually uses that bathroom.
Yeah.
Because like when we visit, everyone else has their own.
Right.
So it was very obvious that it was me after we had an incident. I'd flushed after I did my business.
You clogged the toilet.
Yep. Yeah. I maintained that it was still the tree roots.
Yeah, a plumber did have to come out and sift through your business and figure out.
It smelled so bad. Oh, my God.
Oh, thanks. I was glad. I was worried we weren't going to paint a picture. And here you are, brush in hand.
I didn't say anything about it.
As clear as the Mona Lisa.
Clear as mud.
Yeah.
And look, after I talked about it yesterday, a few people have messaged in about their
You're not alone.
They're clogged stories.
Yeah.
And so it got me thinking, maybe we should open up the phones.
Yeah.
52-232-955. When did you clog the toilet?
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened very similar. What happened to you happened to me here at this radio station. It was like our first week.
There's like one stall in the men's toilet.
Yeah, they plumbed the bathrooms wrong. It's like at a 90-degree angle. And this one toilet gets clogged all the time. And it just happened to be the first time I used it like, my first day.
First day!
And it didn't go down. Yep. And I thought, no, we just moved here. This can't be the reason.
I've already signed the contract. They can't get rid of me now.
It's not good. it was you just stand there. And isn't it funny how many times you'll press flush,
yep,
expecting a different result, and the water just creeps higher.
I know, it keeps coming up, and you hear that sound.
I said, if we talk about this, there's a few things you can't say, and that sound was within.
It's not coming out of my bowels.
No,
it was
I know.
Toilet, Tim.
No, but the toilet's doing that because of your business. 52-232-955. If you've got a story about a clogged toilet, give us a call.
Even after, you know, 7 years of being together, a year married, I still didn't want my in-laws to think that I was capable of what I did.
They're like, no, I don't poo.
Never.
I like every girl, I don't poo, and when I die, it all comes out at once.
That's exactly what happens.
We wanted to hit the phones because, unfortunately, I don't think anyone's ever not clogged a toilet.
Yeah.
You can't get through life without clogging a toilet. It's not necessarily your fault. Sometimes it's just
sometimes
the plumbing.
It's poor timing.
Yeah. And poor diet.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's got poor in front of it. Let's hit the phones. Tony in Corio has given us a call. Tony, have you got a clogged toilet story for us?
I actually do. It's not as foul as Jess's.
Oh, Tony.
Fair enough. Thank you for the context. Tony, what do you got?
But my son, when he was about 3 years of age, managed to clog my grandmother's toilet during our first visit over to Adelaide to see her since he was born.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Tony.
So she bought him a lovely wind cheater that she spent quite a fair bit of money on getting made for him. And unfortunately, it was a bit too itchy for him, so he decided that he would go to the toilet. And
Tony! Oh, no!
So it wasn't what we all assume clogged the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're never wearing that wind cheater again, though.
No.
Not putting that on your body.
No, most certainly. He was quite happy when the plumber rocked up, pulled it out, threw it straight into a garbage bag.
Excellent. I mean, the plumber would have been very relieved.
Yeah.
I imagine that is probably on the top end of the things that they're willing to pull out of the toilet. Sarah in Belmont, have you got a clogged toilet story for us?
Yes. On the job that I'm currently doing, which is a renovation, the plumber had come and hooked everything up for the new toilet that went in. And I thought I'd be cool and christen the toilet.
There is something really magical about I imagine that is an exhilarating feeling.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Total bliss.
Okay.
And yeah, flushed and it didn't go down. So it was full to the brim. And yeah, so the plumber had come back and it wasn't my fault. There was something stuck in the pipe. It's a very old house. But it was a T-shirt.
Maybe it was Tony's kid. Tony from Korea. Maybe he bought their house.
Oh, God.
Sarah, that's the high and the excitement of getting to christen a brand new toilet and then the immediate twist of this isn't flushing. What a whirlwind of emotions for you.
Oh, it definitely was. But I do have a little tip for people in future.
Please.
But it doesn't quite work if you flush it, like press the button a little bit and then try and flush it again. But if you think that you're going to clog the toilet, just hold the button down first go.
Just anticipate.
Just hold it all the way down.
Yeah.
It will rise. The water will rise. But then it eventually just goes, sucks out like a...
What comes up must come down, Sarah.
It's like an airplane toilet. Just like... Whoosh.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Excellent. Really.
Yeah, unless you've got a T-shirt in there.
I was going to say, which is two from two at the moment, at least. So
honestly, I have a new life goal. I want to christen a toilet once, just once in my life.
You have weird goals, I'll be honest. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Jess, you seen The Matrix?
Yeah. Yep.
It's one of the movies that I actually haven't seen.
You haven't seen it?
I know. It's like when people say they haven't seen The Titanic.
Yeah.
And you go, what do you mean you haven't seen it? And yeah.
I hadn't seen it all the way through. And then at uni we studied it. and I still didn't watch it all the way through.
Did you understand
When my partner, my husband and I got together, he was like, I can't believe you haven't seen The Matrix all the way through. He made me watch all of them.
Right.
And honestly, after the first one, did we need the others? Probably not.
Well, the first Matrix, the other two are a bit, from what I've read, a bit meh, 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 meh.
Yeah.
But the first one, and can you, again, because you've seen it, I've only read about it.
Okay.
But I feel
Tell
like
me
I
your understanding of The Matrix.
Well, so it's like the Matrix is, there's Keanu Reeves.
Yep.
Neo? Nevo?
Sure. Neo?
Nepo?
No, I think
Neo.
It's Neo.
Yeah, Neo.
Nepo!
You never know.
Yeah, so Keanu Reeves as Nepo.
Yep, he's approached by Lawrence Fishburne and something goes on and it's like, hey, life's a simulation. Take the red pill, take the blue pill. And at the end of the movie, it's like...
No, but he doesn't take both. It's like...
No, take the red pill or the blue pill.
Yeah, yeah. And if you take one, you can just keep stay in the simulation.
Or take the other.
You take the other and we're going to go down the rabbit hole together.
Go to the Matrix. Yep. And at the end of the movie, it's... Are they a simulation? Are they not?
Mm-hmm.
ETC. There's been a professor that thinks that this life that we live in is... a simulation,
The
Matrix.
Oh, no.
What do you think?
I mean, there's every possibility, but if it is, can someone stop messing with me so much?
What a boring simulation. What a, like, the amount of work it takes to feel this average and look this bad. Who would be wanting
to
play that game?
It would be nice to have someone else to blame for all my mistakes and decisions. Do you know what I mean?
You went to correct yourself.
Yeah.
And then you went to say, no, they are my mistakes. I will... But yeah, he thinks that gravity is the main sign of proof that we're living in a matrix.
Oh,
which I don't really understand. He goes into detail. He put out this massive thesis on LinkedIn.
Oh,
which is of course where you want to go if you want to put out something to the world. But apparently, the force keeping us on the planet could actually be keeping us inside the matrix. So that's his whole thing. So we can't escape. Unless you're Katy Perry and you get on a space flight.
Well, I mean, even she didn't get out of the atmosphere, so... Yeah.
Well, he's claiming that the universe is really the ultimate computer and that gravity's pull across it is the way that the universe organizes its data. It goes on to a whole bunch of stuff that none of us are really going to extend, but essentially, direct quote here, the universe evolves in a way that the information content is compressed, optimized, and organized, just as computers and computer code do. So he's saying, well, gravity holds us in.
Yep.
We're all living in a simulation. We're all data. We're all information. Boobity-boop.
That's why we haven't been able to find, quote-unquote, life.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
I misread your L.
That too.
When you started the I was like, of course, the Loch Ness Monster.
We haven't unlocked that level yet.
Yeah, sorry, did you say the meaning of life? Like, or
no,
other life?
No, no, like, you know how we're, you know, there's
haven't
all...
found aliens, really.
Yeah, there's all these, you know, studies and we find all these planets, but we never find any other life.
Okay.
It's because whoever's programming us hasn't bothered to make other planets.
So you're straight immediately on board with life's a simulation.
I mean, look, it is nice, to have someone else to blame.
I just can't remember, like... Again, if life is our life is a simulation and we play games in our own simulation, no game have I ever played has it been like, don't forget to take out the bins. It's a Tuesday night. Like, what a boring game.
Or like, I watch my husband at work, like, because he does a lot of work from home. I'm like, oh, this is...
Like, who's programming that?
So boring.
So I don't know. Gravity, I think gravity's just locking us down on this rock that's floating around. It's just not sure if
so we don't, like, fly off into space.
Yeah, well, like...
the speed at which we're hurtling through just space, nothingness is just...
But don't start, let's not talk about the void that is space, because we'll all start...
Where are we going, Tim?
Who knows? But we're getting there together. This is Tim and Jess. Before we get into what I want to talk about, just don't take this personally. Okay?
Okay.
Right.
No, this is... You always say that just before you're going to say something that hurts my feelings.
Well, yeah, I just feel like... You're just a bit sensitive today. I just...
Today.
Yes, exactly. But just, look, it's... Just don't take it personally.
Okay, all right.
I want to talk about answering the phone while you're with a group of people.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Is it rude to answer your phone?
No.
When you're with a group of people?
Sometimes, you know, you get a call... You don't know how long it's going to be, so you just answer the phone. You go, hello, Jessica speaking.
No, you go, hello, Jessica speaking. No, I can't have... No, I need to pick it up at 4. And like, I'm just quietly eating my sandwich off to the
side. We also have an open plan office here, so sue me. Where am I supposed to take my phone calls?
Do we have
not at my desk.
Do we have a private little room next to the studio, which is called the recharge room. It's got beanbags in it. I've never seen anyone go
well,
in there to recharge.
Well, it's not the phone call room, though, is it?
Why not? It's a private room where you can yell to your heart's little extent.
I don't yell when I'm on the phone. I speak clearly.
You enunciate.
I communicate.
I... think it is not that you're rude. I think in general that act is rude.
Really?
100%. Like, but I like if I get a phone call, you see me, I walk away. I come into the studio, like if we're here before work, or I'll go away.
If it's like a private call, I'll do that. But like, you know, if I'm just talking to Officeworks, it's nothing private about me.
Yeah, but
picking up my print and copy.
But do you think like the people sitting around you need to know that your order is delayed? And that you're unhappy with the company.
I mean, very specific example with today.
That's why I'm saying you're a bit sensitive. But on 5223295, is it rude to answer your phone when you're with people? Like, I'm the same. Like, if I'm at my parents' place or at my mother and father-in-law's and I get a phone call, I'll either not answer it or I will walk away and answer it.
Oh, no, sometimes I'll, like, even put it on speaker. Involve everyone in the room.
It's weird. See, this is the thing. You're talking about it with a positive tone, and that's a terrible thing to do. I think it's so annoying. It's so annoying. And it look, today, it wasn't... It's funny that you've had a day where you've done this multiple times.
Yes. Today,
but it wasn't the launch pad of why I wanted to talk about this. It was something that happened over the weekend. And today, I was like, oh, how do I feel about it? And I've been annoyed at you all day.
Say anything to me all day.
Because I knew. I was like, well, funny this. How apt. So 5223295. Is it rude to answer your phone when you're with a group of people, whether it's at work, whether you're in a social setting?
I think it's just more difficult being in a open plan office. Like, I have to make my phone calls at my desk.
You act like it's web body to body against the wall. There are so many empty spaces. We have an entire area on the other side of this building.
I'm not going to walk all the way.
This is it. There's
over
there,
to
there
the other
is.
Side of the building when I take my 30-second phone call. How dare you?
I had a feeling it was you not being considerate to others. So you've really knuckled that down. So thank you very much. I was wondering how I was going to get that point across. You seem to have done it flawlessly as always.
I think it depends how private the phone call is. Because, like, for me...
Your lines are blurred.
Yeah, there's not a lot of things that I keep private in this world.
But you got to understand, that's your choice.
Yeah.
not everyone else's. They don't need to know what time your dental appointment is being moved to. You know?
This is so rich coming from you. We know so much about each other that we probably shouldn't.
Yeah, but I like to, you know that I'll screen your calls left, right, and center. If you're calling me and I'm with people, I'll go, well, I'll call her back when I'm in the car. Yeah. Or I know that if you call multiple times, something's
it's
up.
It's urgent.
And I'll walk away and I'll take
that phone call. I didn't realize that was the thing. I'll just start calling you multiple times from now on.
But I won't answer it in front of people because, like, my brain will shut down. If someone's speaking, then you're on the phone speaking to someone else and I can hear them speaking to you. I'm out of it. I'm out of everything.
That's my favorite thing to do when you're on an important call. Just ask you a question and then you go, I'm so sorry. What?
I have no idea what anyone's saying at that point. I just think, go away.
Yeah.
In short,
is this
go
because
away.
I was on hold for about 15 minutes and I kept the on hold music?
Yeah, you put
loud.
On loudspeaker next to me. I was doing work.
I just didn't want to hold it to my ear because it was like, oh, I was hurting my ear at that point.
So you were like, well, a if problem
I suffer,
shared.
So everyone else should shove suffer too.
Okay. Are you under the theory that everyone else should suffer and it's not rude to answer your phone while you're with a group of people, or you think it is a bit rude?
It most certainly is a bit rude.
Thank you.
I was actually just saying we've got a lady at work who not only has caused us all to have multiple HR meetings, but all of us to have a very in-depth knowledge in regards to her personal health and other things.
Oh, God.
Who puts her phone on speaker with every call that she receives, no matter whether it's her sister, her mother, or her doctor.
There you go. So, Tony, I think it's now we can reveal that you work here and you work in the digital department behind Jess. And it's an intervention, Jess.
Not
surprise.
True. It's not true. I wouldn't take medical calls in front of everyone.
Fair enough, Tony. Fair enough.
I don't know how to explain it. It's definitely something that I've had to put up with for 5 years now with this company.
Oh, God. Is she still working there with you, Tony?
She is. She is.
Are you taking this call on loudspeaker right next to her?
No. I'm thankfully finished for the day. I actually changed my shift about 6 months ago so that I only have to put up with it for 5 hours of the day instead of 8 hours of the day. So.
Again, Jess, you're reacting to this like it's all crazy. These are conversations that people have about you.
They are
Tony,
not.
Tony's just one voice of many voices that I think. And again, Tony, we'll see you down the corridor because you do work here. Appreciate the setup for the intervention. Hopefully it sets in. There you go.
Hang on a second. I'm just getting a call.
Okay.
More. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.